This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your incarnation, you united all things, things in heaven and things on earth, things above and things below. In your person and work, you united God and us. Help us to receive you as you come to us. Help us to welcome your embrace, to awaken to your intrusion into our lives, and then to courageously follow you throughout our lives, not only on Christmas, but every day, now and forever. Amen. Be seated. Merry fourth day of Christmas. When most of the world is already taking down the trees and the decorations, we Episcopalians are just getting revved up. We even sang Christmas carols at 7:45. And the roof did not cave in. The psychological gurus tell us that this particular week not only has the most returns to stores of any other time of the year, but it is the highest range of percentage of people having what's called buyer's remorse. That all of the frantic shopping and buying that was done, now it's all over and people start to question, did I do the right thing? And so there's a lot that goes back to the stores this week, and there's a lot of people that just wish maybe if I hadn't bought that particular thing. We can have a lot of remorse when we start to get on to this Christian journey, that we find out it's a little bit different, a little more difficult than perhaps we thought it was going to be. If you're at our Christmas pageant at the 4 o'clock service on Christmas Eve, we go around and we choose the kids to raise their hands as we tell the story, and somebody can be the sheep, somebody can be the shepherd, and it comes to a culmination when we choose Joseph and Mary, and the hands go up. And so we chose Mary, and Mary and Joseph go back to get attired, and the time comes for them to have their moment and march down the aisle. And all of a sudden, my daughter, Bree, who's in the back helping to dress them, shouts out, "Hang on! Mary changed her mind!" I had to assure the congregation we weren't going to change the gospel story. I don't know what it was, if Mary didn't like the costume, or she didn't like her Joseph, or what it was. But she made it clear she is not walking down that aisle as Mary. So we had to get an understudy. And we did, and we ended up with one of Rev Wendy's nieces. And I must say, she was the best Mary I think we've ever had. We can get that kind of, I don't want to do this. The Christmas message, the fact that Jesus chose to come when he did, as he did, is to help us to understand that we can't wait till everything is worked out right for us to go ahead and accept him and follow him. He comes in the midst of chaos. We hear every first Sunday after Christmas this reading from John's prologue to his gospel. And it's an echoing of the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. In the beginning. That's how Genesis begins. That's how John begins. And what does God create out of? Chaos. Jesus comes to us, John is trying to help us to see, in the midst of our chaos and our mess. So, we traditionally do something on this day. And those of you who have been here before will probably remember it. But we remember that particular most holy night. And as we usually have it depicted, there were probably some nice crickets that were making some noise. And we're told that the cattle are lowing, so there would have been cows. And of course, there was the famous donkey that they rode. And we know that there were shepherds, and where there are shepherds, there have to be sheep. And whenever I've been around sheep and shepherds, there are always sheep dogs. And where there are sheep, there are usually goats. And we're told that it was a farm kind of environment, so I would imagine there were chickens there. And if you're going to have chickens, you have to have roosters. And usually in a situation like that, there's a few ducks mixed in. Now, the scriptures don't tell us that the manger scene was any kind of a kosher environment, so since it was a farm, there were probably pigs. And whenever I've been on a farm, there are always some horses. And wherever there are horses, there are usually horse flies. And we know that the Magi came, and of course we know they came on camels. Yes, that's what a camel sounds like. And there was no room at the inn. So the inn was at capacity, and it's nighttime. There had to have been one heck of a party going on over there. And then we get this false line in that Christmas carol. The baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. With all of that, I think there was some of this. Now, the thing is, all of these things would not have happened in the sequential order in which I played them. You had the crickets, you had the cows, you had the donkeys, you had the sheep, you had the sheep dogs, you have the goats, you have the chickens, you have the roosters, you have the ducks, you got the pigs, your horses, your horse flies, the camel, party's going on. And with all that, I'm sure that baby was a-crying. Now, with that as our backdrop, let us all sing the first verse of Silent Night. Song will never be the same for you again, will it? I love doing that because I think it brings home in a very way we can feel it what God was trying to tell us. That it was noisy. It was chaotic. It was messy. And that's how God chooses to come to us. Why do we wait? I'll get more serious about my spiritual life once I retire. I'll get more serious about my relationship with Jesus when I can straighten out this financial mess I'm in. I'll get more serious about my spiritual life when the health of my spouse is better, when my relationships are more on the right track. God doesn't choose to wait, so why do we? God comes to us in the most despicable conditions, in the most difficult way, and that's where God wants to touch our lives. So wherever we are, let today be the day that this spirit of Christmas becomes the turning point for each one of us. That we acknowledge the difficulties we face and the chaos we're in and the noise that is all around us. But we focus on following that babe in the manger. There is a great fable that comes to us from the Jewish tradition. It's the story of a man who decides he's going to leave his home because he wants to go and figure out his life. And so he leaves and he walks and he walks. And he comes to the end of the first day and he finds a place where he can pitch a tent. And so he does, and he camps for the night. But before going to bed, he carefully places his shoes on the ground, facing in the direction he is heading. That way, he figured, when he gets up in the morning, he will be on the right direction. Well, in the middle of the night, something happened. A stranger came along and turned his shoes around. And when he awoke, he put on his shoes, set out on his journey, thinking he was headed for that city where he was really going to figure out life. He walked and walked, and just before sunset, he looked down the road and saw a city that looked very familiar. He entered through the city gate. He found a neighborhood that looked very familiar. He entered a neighborhood, and he came to a house that looked rather familiar. And he entered that house, and he lived happily ever after in his own home. The journey of faith begins, continues with where we are now. So however noisy or messy it might be, let God be there with you. Amen.